In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Two special constables strolled the city, 6:24 a.m.
How many weeks now?
Three. Or four, depending upon which midwife you talk to.
It's your first, isn't it?
Yeah. Little boy.
Where are you having him?
Oh, College Hospital in town.
Well, word of advice, son. When they offer a drug, say yes. When we had Flavia, my wife wanted a birthing pool whale music. First contraction, her face turns red, her back arches. She let out a howl I swear was not human.
Cheers. I'll remember that.
Oh, talking about saying yes to drugs. You okay there, sir?
Yeah, fine.
Do you think maybe there was an office party last night?
Well, if there was, this one's had enough time to sleep it off.
A young suited guy staggers.
Sir, you need to move your car.
Another figure in a parked hatchback.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, rise and shine. Bloody hell.
The driver has a head wound. Ronnie and Sam with the constable at the scene.
God, look at me, I'm still shaking.
Yeah, well, take it easy. You said you'd ID'd him.
Yeah. According to the licensee's wallet, Derek Strachan. Not a robbery, though. Still had 80 quid in it.
Right. And did anyone see anything at all, you know?
Just last of the party people over there.
Fine. Okay.
The dishevelled young guy is slouched against a wall.
Mr. Clive Cook here missed the last tube home.
Right. Hello, Mr. Cook. Celebrating something, sir?
Yeah. Firm had closed a big deal. I was dancing on the desk 1 minute. Next thing I know, I'm waking up in a stationery cupboard and everyone's gone home.
What time was that?
The sun was just coming up, so late.
Well, some would call it early, wouldn't they, sir?
Detectives!
Just hang on for me, though, please. All right, Pete.
Ahsoka takes a bra from the hatchback.
What you got?
Looks like he had company.
Oh, a secret he only shared at weekends.
There's a blazer as well, a couple of buttons ripped off.
Maybe he got a bit rough, she didn't like it.
What, and then produced a gun?
Bees pepper spray.
Wound size looks too small for a pistol. Maybe an air gun?
Maybe. However, a half-naked woman running through London shouldn't take long to find.
You're not wrong. And in this weather, I hope he had warm hands.
The London skyline. Law. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced Senior Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks. Paul Nichols as boyishly handsome Junior Detective Sergeant Sam Casey. Harriet Walter as gaunt Detective Inspector Natalie Chandler. Order. Dominic Rowan as clean-cut Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Jake Thorne. Freema Agyeman as elegant Junior Crown Prosecutor Alicia Phillips. And Peter Davison as heavy-featured Director of London Crown Prosecution Service Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode, Dawn Till Dusk. Central HQ. Chandler leads Ronnie and Sam to an interview room.
Her name's Louise Dawson. She claims this was her first date with Strachan.
Well, I hope she didn't want a second.
Well, she ran to Smithfield's Market because she knew there'd be people there.
Well, I can imagine what a half-naked woman did for trade this morning.
Just get her story. I'm going to try and contact Strachan's next of kin.
I'd seen them a few times. Serving us drinks at Asia Fusion. It's a bar near where I work. He seemed nice.
But not nice enough to take him home, eh?
I don't live alone.
What do you mean, Louise? What, you have a dog?
I have a boyfriend. We're both working through some issues.
Your boyfriend the jealous type?
Not anymore. What are you saying? God, it wasn't him.
You any idea who it might have been?
No, some bloke just... shot Derek from across the road.
Okay, Louise, would you mind sitting with one of our officers? He can help you put together an e-fit of the man who shot Derek.
Looks like Harry Hill.
I'll ring his agent and have him arrested.
Excellent, case closed. I'll tell Derek's family. Ange, how are you getting on?
Hundreds of CCTV cameras, but they belong to loads of different private businesses. Trying to get hold of it all is going to take the rest of the day.
It's one of the busiest parts of London. No one sees a man get shot in a car.
That time in the morning, Gov, place is deserted.
Means we're going to have to get out there and pound some pavement.
Asia Fusion Wine Bar, 8:12 a.m.
Derek left about 2:30.
Was he alone?
Nah, he hooked up with this city chick.
And the manager's happy to let him just clock off when he wants, yeah?
Yeah, he knows how it works. Look, there's a lot of rich, attractive city girls around here. Need to let off steam once in a while.
You're quite happy to be the pressure valve.
We all are. If one of us gets a hit, we cover for each other. Look, I'm not traveling the world for the cultural experience.
Just the wine, women and song, yeah?
Hey, don't judge me. At least I'm single.
Meaning what?
Derek, he's got a girlfriend.
Chloe, we found Derek in his car.
A dumpy young blonde woman nods.
Must have been on his way home.
Yeah, he wasn't alone.
He wasn't cheating on me. You wouldn't do that to me.
I think maybe sometimes it's possible that Derek wasn't completely honest with you. Yeah.
I thought it was just a phase. He didn't love any of them. Love me. You would have stopped once we got engaged. You would have.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you're right.
Do you know of anyone that might want to hurt him?
Any enemies, you mean? God, no. We haven't been here long enough to make any friends.
Ronnie and Sam stroll past the gherkin.
And maybe Chloe Hines not as understanding as she lets on. A girl gets taken advantage of like that, I wouldn't like to be around when she snapped.
Always the quiet ones, eh?
Yeah. My experience.
I think Chloe's just hurt. Derek Strachan might be young to shoot it, but I don't think she'd have him shot for it, that's for sure.
All right. Who else is going to be knocking around the square mile at that time in the morning?
I don't know. Late night office dude, celebrating a big deal. What about our man in the stationery cupboard?
Clive Cook?
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't the only one that missed the last tube home.
Hooper Wood Associates, Bishopsgate 902. Ronnie and Sam are with a slim blonde woman in a boardroom.
We just secured a deal that should see us through the next year. I thought everyone deserved to let their hair down.
What time did you leave the party?
Just before 4. I was in a cab at 4:15. Company commercial PR work means sometimes living on a couple of hours sleep a night.
Do you use a regular cab rank?
There's one near Liverpool Street Station. I walked there.
Did you see or hear anything unusual?
No. Sorry, can't say I did.
Have you ever seen this man?
Not last night.
But you have seen him?
Yes. He followed me a few weeks ago when I was heading home. I thought he was a pervert, so I confronted him. Got ready to do some serious damage with the stiletto.
What did he do? Run a mile a bit?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he did. Jumped into a Mondeo, drove straight through a red light.
Clearly had no idea what he'd taken on.
No, clearly not.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Miss Hayes.
If you want to know anything else, Detective, just call me.
She'd eat you for breakfast.
Yeah. And I'd let her.
We must get Ange to add those traffic cameras on her list. There's got to be thousands of Mondeos in London. Hopefully one of them, though, has just jumped a red light.
Prospect Place.
Lima one.
Is that near here?
I'll tell you what, it's literally just round the corner there. Come on.
They run into the atrium lobby of a grand building.
Excuse me. It's the cavalry, love.
Ronnie holds his ID up as he rushes past two receptionists to join Sam by lift.
Oh, come on.
What floor was it?
I think she said the 5th.
I thought she said 15th.
Oh, no, I think it was the 5th.
Stairs.
I hope to God I'm right. Come on, Ronnie!
Sam runs ahead up a staircase. They emerge onto a balcony to see figures grappling with a man in a glass-walled boardroom.
Is this the floor it is?
Thank God!
Sam restrains a burly guy while Ronnie tends a man with a gashed head on the floor.
Oi! Oi! Get back!
Who the hell are you? Get off me!
Step away and calm down. We are police officers. I need you to calm down.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir. Can you hear me? Can you call an ambulance, please, love?
I've been stabbed.
He's still breathing.
Why did he stab you, Mr.
Roach? I'm Abraham Roach, and he's my brother, Carl.
Your brother stabbed you?
Yeah, so I hit him with the nearest thing I could get my hands on.
Which was what?
That paperweight there.
Okay. Well, once that's stitched, you're going to have to come down the station and make a statement.
I was just defending myself. How is he?
Your brother's on his way to St. John's. He's critical but stable.
Okay, Tommy, sorry to ask. You happy to be the officer in charge for me here, please?
Yeah, well, just this once, Ron. Email me your witness statements through as soon as you can. I'll take it from there, okay?
Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate that. I owe you one. Just that, sir, I've got to be clocked out by 6 o'clock at the latest.
Oh, yeah. Have a date, do we?
I do indeed. With a leather chair in the director's box at Upton Park.
How'd you swing that?
Ah, friends who know friends, you know.
More to the point, why'd you swing that?
See, that's totally unnecessary, isn't it?
Sam smirks as the lift doors close. 9:54 a.m. Thursday 4th. Chandler finds Ronnie and Sam at their desks.
You boys leave a city DC to mop up a job this morning?
Yeah, why? Just a family argument went a bit wonky.
Well, they're pushing for it to come over here and you're going to have to investigate.
No, look, if I leave this paperwork any longer, Gov, I won't be able to see the dark boys.
If your brother's having a row, why do we have to get involved?
Yeah. Because Carl Roach, the brother with the head wound, died when he reached the hospital. And that makes it murder, and that puts it on your desk.
Ronnie turns back to his pile of files and whips off his glasses.
It was self-defence. My client doesn't need to say anything more here.
Well, no, you're right. He doesn't need to, but Mr. Roach has admitted attacking his brother with a weapon.
What, a paperweight?
A heavy metal paperweight, which, according to witnesses, your client brought down on his brother's head with great force.
I urge you not to say anything.
No, I want to. Carl and I run an office catering company, corporate clients. It's been faltering these last few months, and I'd done a deal with a bigger company to buy us out. We would have lost a little money, but most of the staff would have kept their jobs. He thought I'd betrayed him, betrayed everyone.
So, what happened this morning?
He found out, and he came at me with the letter opener. He stabbed me in the shoulder. I grabbed the nearest thing. I hit him.
See, gentlemen, self-defense.
Oh God! I killed my own brother.
So what do we say to the CPS?
I don't think there was any intent, but in the heat of the moment, I don't know. Maybe he saw red, who knows?
All right, I'll call Jacob Thorne, let him know what to expect. Where are we on the Harry Hill search?
Oh, Angie's checking with motor claims, see if Amondo's jumped a red light in the city. Hopefully she's having more luck with that than she did with the CCTV footage.
OK, Derek Strachan's mum's here.
A heavy-featured middle-aged woman.
Derek was convinced that he'd have a better chance of making it down here, being an actor. Oh, thanks. I swear he thought that pavements would be paved with gold. I tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen.
What son does, eh?
What about that West End show he was rehearsing? What are they going to do without him?
Sam's eyebrows quiver momentarily into a frown. He looks at Ronnie.
Yeah. I mean, kids like Derek must be a rare talent. Be tough to replace.
When can I take my son home? I want to bury him next to his father.
We'll need Derek for a couple of more days, Mrs. Strachan, if that's okay.
Is there a bed and breakfast around here? I'm going to have to stay the night, aren't I?
Mrs. Strachan roots around in her baggy handbag and fishes out her purse. She frowns at a couple of £10 notes as Sam crouches close to her.
Won't get me very far,
will it? Don't worry, Mrs. Strachan. You see that young lady over there? Her name's Sue.
A smiling brunette approaches.
Now, she'll take you to meet our family liaison officer and they'll sort out everything you need. Okay?
Thank you. Both of you.
Sue puts her hand on Mrs. Strachan's shoulder as she leads her away.
Mrs. Strachan, is it? I'm sorry.
Sam slumps into his chair beside Ronnie.
I remember when I first moved out of my mum and dad's house, I used to tell my mum all sorts of little white lies just to stop her from worrying.
Me too.
We've got to give her something. Come on.
Sam and Ronnie on their phones. 10:40 a.m.
It's a cab rank. Near Liverpool Street, yeah. Well, just if you can get me a list of any regular cabbies that use it, that'd be great.
Kath?
Hey, Sam, what are you up to?
I'm at work.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm quite busy as it goes.
So who's going to have Ben tonight?
No. I can't look after Ben tonight, I've already said.
If you can get an email to me, that'd be great. Thanks.
Well, two murder cases for a start.
Sam.
Hang on.
Sam, look.
Hello? Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold. Kath. Kath.
We need to sort this.
Kath, I've got to go.
Don't you hang up.
Trouble and strife?
She can't expect me to drop everything whenever she needs a babysitter.
I just had a call from Camden. They've got a Roland Hexter at their station.
Do we know a Roland Hexter?
Well, he drives a blue Ford Mondeo, and he's just gone through a red light near Camden Lock.
If you tell me he's got thick-rimmed glasses, and she can come to West Ham match tonight.
Well, he has got thick-rimmed glasses, actually, but you're right, Tar.
Sam and Ronnie face a balding, middle-aged man.
I don't understand. This is for a red light.
No. Mr. Hexter, we're here to talk to you about a murder.
Well, I haven't seen anything. I'd remember.
Did no one at Camden Station explain why we wanted to see you?
No.
Right. Well, you see, Roland, we don't think you're a witness. We're arresting you on suspicion of the murder of Derek Strachan. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
We can call you a solicitor if you don't have one.
But I haven't done anything.
Were you anywhere near Bank Station last night?
No, why would I be?
Hey, someone matching your description was seen there.
Well, it wasn't me.
Can you tell us where you were?
That's none of your business.
It would help you if you gave us an alibi.
I haven't killed anyone, and you've no right to ask me about my private life. Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights.
I think a murder inquiry trumps the EU conventions.
I'm not telling you where I was.
Ronnie and Sam exchange looks. Ronnie peers over the top of his specs as he holds a photo of Derek smiling out for Roland to see.
Do you recognise that man?
No.
No. He was shot this morning, and a witness tells us that someone, once again matching your description, pulled the trigger.
I want that solicitor now.
Watching on the monitors.
All we've really got him on is a traffic offence.
So let's organise an ID parade. I'll get Louise Dawson back in.
We can search Hexter's address if you give us a Section 18, Gov.
Consider it done.
You may mock sunshine, but we were in the FA Cup final as recently as 2006.
Really?
Yeah, really. And I was there, me and 70,000 others. Millennium Stadium, Cardiff, mate. One of the greatest cup finals of all time, they reckon.
That right?
Yep, that is right. And we was winning 3-2 right until the last minute. Stevie Gerrard scored from 30 yards, takes it to extra time. By the time penalties come, I'd lost my voice.
Ronnie.
Oh, I know. You wish I'd lost my voice now.
Ronnie.
What?
Ronnie frowns as he steps into the room where Sam holds a semi-automatic pistol. With Danny in the ballistics lab, 11:32.
To run an air pistol today without a licence, it can't have more than 6 foot-pounds muzzle energy. Change in 88 after Hungerford. So if it's more than that, it's illegal. If it's less than that, it's not.
But if it is less, you wouldn't be able to shoot someone from across the road and kill them, would you?
No, but this looks quite old. So if it predates the 88 law change, it could be a lot more powerful.
How much more?
It's not going to go through bone, but could do some serious damage to the internal organs.
You know, Derek Strachan shot through left-hand side of the head and the temple.
Thinnest part of the skull, vulnerable soft tissue beneath. Yeah, this could kill.
Right. When will you know for sure?
Once I get the pellet back from the PM. Should be here in a minute.
Well, if we've got a match, we're game on.
If you can get a match. I mean, Mr. Hexter's not the only person in London to own an air pistol.
Well, no, that's true, but we have witness statements, we have the gun. I'd say the evidence is beginning to pile up, wouldn't you?
Witness statements? What, like the ID parade I just watched? It might be him there again, it might not.
Well, Mr. Hexter does have pretty distinctive features.
He drives a blue Mondeo.
As do thousands of others. This is all circumstantial.
Hate to say it, but he's right.
Oh, don't you start.
Detective Inspector, you're all going to want to read this.
Danny hands Chandler a dossier as she watches Roland on the monitors. Chandler shows it to Alicia.
Shit.
No comment to make on that subject.
Stop the interview.
Interview terminated at 11:55.
Okay, Mr. Hexter, you're free to go.
At last. Come on.
Charlton, Roland's gangly bald lawyer, rises.
I will be in touch about you wasting my client's time.
I look forward to that.
What happened?
Ballistics report. Strachan was shot with an air rifle, not an air pistol, which means that our prime suspect is free to leave, and our killer is still out there.
Alicia appears at the door.
A female witness who was with the victim when he was shot this morning picked the suspect from an ID parade. Short hair, distinctive glasses. Roland Hexter.
Was she sure?
At first. And then she picked out someone else who looked similar.
Sounds a little flaky.
There is a lot of evidence, but it's all circumstantial. Same car, same appearance, owns an air pistol.
What do the police want us to do?
Well, D.I. Chandler wants Roland Hexter locked up until we can prove it one way or the other.
Not sure we're allowed to do that.
Will you please sit down?
Sorry. Always get like this when the jury's out. Yvette Dyer made a very impressive closing speech.
The kids who stabbed the teacher? Gareth Markham and Jeffrey Green?
Yeah.
Thought you said that was the back of the net.
They always make me more nervous.
Do you want me to do the PCMs this afternoon?
No, thanks. I want to be around court in case the jury come back.
Just had a call from Yvette Dyer. We've got to go see her now.
What's happened?
Gareth Markham, one of the teenagers from the murder trial you wrapped up this morning, is claiming he was intimidated by a detective.
Jake and Alicia in Yvette Dyer's chamber with a cropped-haired lad.
If my client was intimidated by a police officer, you have a responsibility to investigate.
He's made this up, hoping somebody will believe him, and you've fallen for it.
One of your key prosecution arguments was Mr. Markham's interview.
Mr. Markham? You mean this thing here?
It places both defendants at the scene of the crime, and if it's brought into question, you have no case.
Of course we do. Mr. Gareth Markham and his mate stabbed their head teacher. And now, when we're on the verge of winning, this comes up. You're just looking for any way out, aren't you?
What if he's telling the truth? I'm going to argue that the jury be discharged and the case thrown out.
Off. How about your head of chambers? He's loving this, isn't he? He knows he's about to lose and he hopes this ridiculous about-face might just save him.
That's unfair. Donald did nothing to encourage this.
And nothing to stop it, either.
We're taking our client at his word.
So we have to do all the legwork, yeah? Unbelievable.
The answer is to sort this as quickly as possible. Gareth, who are you claiming threatened you?
Detective Sergeant Sam Casey.
I've got better things for my detectives to be doing than digging through old case files.
We have to go back to the original evidence and prove this is a bogus claim.
Bloody hell. All right. It is bogus, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Unless you're talking about that fella you slapped around to get that full confession in the summer.
Ronnie, don't even joke about this. You've got a busy enough day today as it is.
Look, Alicia, I will dig out all the stuff you need, but this is absolute bollocks. I interviewed Gareth Markham. He grassed up his mate, and that's all there is to it.
Where are you going?
Oh, well, I've just got a lead on the Harry Hill case. Something that occurred 6 months ago, sort of ringing some bells, you know.
Chandler to Alicia as Ronnie goes.
Have you got a minute?
Sam looks anxious as Chandler leads Alicia into her office.
This whole case will collapse unless we can show that Gareth Markham's lying.
Why has this come up now?
Because he's desperate and he's trying anything. Normally a claim like this would be dismissed, but defence are pushing it, so it's up to us to prove him wrong.
You realise that if there's any truth in this intimidation story, it's got to go to internal affairs. Sam could lose his job.
Yeah. How well do you know Sam?
I heard from his superintendent in Manchester he could lose his rag occasionally. But I don't want to believe someone from MIU could do this. Reputation like that reflects on everyone. I'm not having it.
How long have I got?
I can pretend you came to me with this tomorrow morning. And then I've got to make the call.
Crown v. Markham, trial day 14, Thursday, October 4th. Yvette and Jake in court.
We are talking about an admission in interview obtained through intimidation. If this is true, then I respectfully submit that my client cannot have a fair trial with this jury.
If this is true, my lord, we are going back through all the relevant papers as we speak. We are confident we can dismiss his claim as false by the end of the week.
The end of the week? Surely you can dig out the relevant interview details this afternoon.
My lord, a policeman's professional reputation is at stake here, as well as the trial.
I'll give you until the end of the day.
The end of the day?
Yes. Time is ticking, Mr. Thorne.
Jake on his phone outside.
Tell me we're going to have something within the hour. This case is going to disappear from under us.
Within the hour?
Yes, I know. Unbelievable.
But sadly, I think Judge Richards fancies Yvette.
He's not the only one.
Look, you won't let it lie, will you?
I'll do what I can, but what can I say? Sam doesn't file anything like I do.
Alicia, no one files
no one files anything like I do.
Yeah, hurry up.
We'll get off the phone.
Outside East Anglia Police HQ, Essex 1435, Ronnie's with the grizzled cop.
They were in Epping Forest about 6 months ago. Young couple doing a bit of an anatomy class in the woods. Bloke jumps out, shoots an air rifle pellet straight through the lad's chest. He died later of internal bleeding.
Right, and someone picked Roland Hexer out of the ID parade, yeah?
Yeah, we brought him in. Questioned him. Had to let him go, nothing stuck.
Yeah, tell me about it.
11 hours we had him in there for. All he seemed to care about was getting back home to look after his mum. He still lives with her.
Well, that's odd. We got him checked out at a one-bed flat in Wapping.
Well, he might have moved since, but this bloke lived in a semi in Ballam.
Roly cooks for me, because of me arthritis. Gets worse over winter.
Right. But he doesn't live here.
He has a little place he keeps to himself. An easy commute for his job.
Where does he work?
Somewhere in Westminster. He gets the boat every day. St. Catherine's to Embankment Pier. Lovely way to see the city. He's a writer.
Oh, yeah. Fiction. Tall stories.
I don't know. He never really talks about it.
Photograph on your mantelpiece there. Mrs. Hexer, is that Roland's dad?
Yes, in his dress uniform. He was a handsome man.
No longer with us?
Lung cancer. Nearly 10 years ago now. He fought in the Falklands, you know. I think he wanted Roland to follow him into the army, but Roly had other ideas.
Didn't fancy driving tanks for a living, no?
No. My Humphrey tried everything. Even took him down to the firing range. Taught him how to hold a gun, how to shoot a rifle. But there aren't many writers who can strip an M15.
Back at HQ.
I've got all the paperwork, but I'm going to need a big space to go through it all.
I'll try an interview room.
Thanks.
Ronnie and Sam pass Alicia.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Everything sorted?
Not quite. What news from the front?
Well, we checked with a local old Bill in Essex. Blue Mondo was nicked for speeding in Epping Forest 20 minutes after the shooting 6 months ago.
These coincidences are beginning to stack up.
Yeah, and Roland Hexter knows how to use a rifle.
Let's see if a second interview in one day can shake him up a bit.
Right.
Ronnie goes. Chandler sees Sam gazing down the corridor after Alicia.
Sam. You still with us?
Yeah. Pick up Roland Hexter.
Roland and Charlton back in.
This is madness. I keep telling you, I haven't killed anyone.
So how come when a couple got a bit steamy in the woods, you were there to shoot one of them in the chest?
Do you have problems with public displays of affection, Roland?
I haven't even been to Epping Forest.
It checks out. It's your car. It's your registration. Stop lying to us.
What do you want from me?
Just the truth.
Look, do you actually have anything? Because I, for one, feel I've spent too long in this room today.
The next step is his mum.
What? Come on, this is outrageous.
We will be inside her place, digging through her things. Her whole life turned upside down.
You wouldn't.
Well, then tell us where you were, Roland, and we can eliminate you from this inquiry, can't we?
I can't. I honestly can't.
My client is saying nothing more until I've had a chance to talk to the CPS.
You go ahead and do that. In the meantime, Mr. Hexter can come with us. We will introduce him to the custody sergeant.
Why? What's he gonna do?
Charge you with murder, Roland. For the shooting dead of Derek Strachan this morning and the shooting of Peter Spencer 6 months ago.
Alicia and Chandler watch Sam on the video link.
So unless you tell us where you were, you're going to end up on remand.
My client has not yet been charged.
He does have a bit of a temper.
So do I. It's not enough to discredit an experienced detective.
No, but I am worried.
Why?
There are 17 minutes unaccounted for after one of the taped interviews. Sam's on his own with Gareth Markham. Terminates the interview, and the uniform who accompanied Markham back to his cell didn't meet him for another 17 minutes.
Could have been doing anything.
Yes, including intimidating the witness. Because in the next taped interview with Sam Casey, Gareth Markham admits to being at the scene of the crime.
Nothing happened.
So how do you account for the 17 minutes?
Oh, bloody hell. He wanted a fag before we took him back to the cells, and I went with him to the cage.
On your way?
Yes.
Anyone see you?
A couple of uniform on the way.
Anyone see you when he was having the cigarette?
No.
Jake, Alicia and Chandler eye Sam.
No.
That doesn't mean a thing. We'll have cameras on the cage for that period.
With sound?
This is unbelievable.
Yes, it is. But you know what, detective? I don't care whether you lit his cigarette or beat him senseless with an iron bar. Right now, our respected head teacher is waiting outside court for a jury to return. He's hoping they'll give a guilty verdict against the two teenagers who stabbed him and left him for dead.
Jake, I want those kids put in jail just as much as you.
Good, because if I find out you've done anything to jeopardise that verdict, I'll be calling Internal Affairs.
Alicia and Jake.
I'll check the CCTV of Sam's time at the cage with Markham.
Doesn't matter. With no recording of what was said, the accusation still stands.
Well, at least we can show Sam's telling the truth about where he was.
What if Markham says Sam knew there were cameras, so chose his words carefully? Makes no difference. Markham still has to retract his statement.
Crown Court number 1, plea and case management hearing, 1608.
The next matter on your lordship's list is Crown and Hexter. Are you Roland Hexter?
Yes.
Mr. Hexter, how do you plead to the charge of 2 counts of murder?
Not guilty, Your Honour.
The Crown requests that Mr. Hexter be remanded in custody. We have evidence he was involved in 2 murders and believe, if released, he may attack again.
My Lord, we request Mr. Hexter is granted bail. He is an upstanding citizen whose only crime here is a minor traffic offence. Defendant's mother is willing to offer up the full value of her property as surety to the court.
Mr. Carlton, I can't ignore the seriousness of the charges against your client. Mr. Hexter, you will be held on remand until a date can be found for you to stand trial.
What?
The court bailiff leads Roland from the dock.
What's next?
Which brings us, my lord, to Crown and Roach.
Jake nods towards a middle-aged woman in a gown and periwig, Amanda Granger, who takes the defence stand. Abe is in the dock.
Are you Abraham Roach?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Roach, how do you plead to the charge of murder?
Guilty, my lord.
Well, Mr. Thorne, can you give me the selected highlights of this case?
Yes. I'd be delighted to, my lord. If I could...
Can you or can you not, fine. Mr. Thorne?
Got to be honest, my lord, along with my learned friend here, I was expecting the plea to be not guilty.
Do either of you have any idea of what's going on here?
My lord, please, can I request a brief adjournment while I consult with my client? Jake, you've got to help me here. He wants to plead guilty.
So let him. That's an entire case of my workload.
But he's not guilty of murder.
I think his brother might disagree with you.
No. He wouldn't. Abraham Roach defended himself, but he didn't mean to kill his own brother.
Your client's the one pleading guilty.
Yeah, that's because he feels guilty. He will do for the rest of his life. That's not the same as being guilty in the eyes of the law.
You're in Donna Walker's chambers, aren't you?
Yes.
In fact, it's said you have quite an influence over the decisions he makes.
What do you want? This about the teenager crying foul?
Yes. Gareth Markham, trying to get away with attempted murder because he's terrified and doesn't realise the seriousness of what he's done.
And Donald is your problem because...
Because he's letting it ride and hoping that it will derail the whole trial. For the sake of a win, Amanda. This is not why we do this.
Well, Donald can be a little...
stupid, yeah.
I was going to say myopic when it comes to the Chamber's reputation.
Well, this will do nothing but damage it, not to mention trash a policeman's career.
Jake and Amanda lock looks across notes.
What do you need?
I'll put an offer of manslaughter to Abraham Roach, one he'll happily plead guilty to if you get me a meet with Donald today.
Jake's with Donald in the CPS offices in the city.
I'm perfectly happy for Yvette to be dealing with this case. She has my instructions.
Yes, Donald, but we're talking about a 3-week trial which is about to get trashed in the next 15 minutes unless we can prove the intimidation claim from your defendant is false.
Well, that sounds like your problem, not mine. If you don't mind, I have a dinner engagement with Justice Bedotti.
Or you could convince your client that he should stick to telling the truth.
Pallid, bespectacled Donald turns and gulps.
I beg your pardon?
Sit him down. Look him in the eye and explain, using small words, what it means to lie to a court of law. You know, like you should have done when he first raised it.
Well, we don't think he is lying.
Rubbish. You're letting him play the system.
I'm sure Judge Richards will be all too happy to bring the jury up to speed with your suspicions tomorrow.
I want this sorted in the next 10 minutes or the case could be thrown out.
As I say, your problem.
Donald!
How are you? Henry, jolly good to see you. I was just on my way out. I think your senior prosecutor was trying to accuse me of something, but I'm not precisely sure of what.
Oh, really? I thought I gave him very clear instructions. He was to tell you to have a word with Gareth Markham.
Well,
tell him an answer in terms to drop this ridiculous intimidation claim, or we'll pull your chambers in front of the Bar Standards Board. Of course, if we did that, I'd have to review all your barristers to see if they were competent to be on the Attorney General's list.
What? Of course they're competent.
In the meantime, all that outsourced prosecution work would have to go elsewhere.
You wouldn't.
I would. And I will.
That is tantamount to blackmail.
Jake and Henry look at each other, then back at him.
Yes. So, Mr. Markham, you are now saying that you were not intimidated.
Yes, my lord.
Any reason given for this change of heart?
I believe the seriousness of perjury was explained to the defendant by my learned friend.
Anything you'd like to add, Mr. Markham?
Yvette nods towards her client in the dock.
I wish to apologize to the court.
We shall consider the matter closed and resume in the morning. Count yourself very lucky, Mr. Markham. Unless there's anything else?
Jake and Yvette shake their heads.
I'll rise.
Court will rise.
Jake and Yvette pull off their periwigs as Judge Richards trudges out and Markham's led away.
Donald's spitting blood.
Not surprised. The Cheshire? Half an hour?
Yeah. Quite a parade.
Always.
Sorry to interrupt. Apparently Mrs. Hexter, Roland's mum, is camped outside our office.
Ronnie and Sam at their PCs.
I've got an unsolved shooting in Brighton, but that was with the 4-4 automatic.
Oh, well, there's an attack on a guy in a car in Hammersmith, but he's alone.
If Roland Hexter's a serial killer, then I am not seeing any pattern in this.
I am never going to make the kickoff at Upton Park at this rate. Oh, first time in a box seat as well.
You're not going there for half time?
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, but it's not the same, is it? You know what I mean? Was that Kathy?
Yeah. I don't think she believes I've actually got a job.
So I finally got hold of the CCTV from this morning, but I couldn't find the Mondeo registered to Roland Hexter anywhere near the crime scene.
What about the CCTV from Embankment Pier?
Yeah, it's all ready to watch on my computer, but I'm sorry I've got to go.
Second date, Ange?
Yeah.
He hasn't let on his next murderer yet, then.
Well, with his pecs, I'd forgive him. All right, night.
Good night, love.
Sam rises from his seat and plods towards Angie's desk.
Come on. Might as well make a start.
No. If you need to head off, I'll cover for you. It's all right.
No, I might as well help while I can. Might not have a job tomorrow.
Roland's dowdy mum sits with Jake and Alicia in the CPS offices. 18:23 hours.
My son would never hurt a soul. He's not as strong as he looks, you know. Prison would be a nightmare for him.
He has no alibi, Mrs. Hexter. The witness statements, the matching e-fits, his car in Epping Forest is all evidence against him.
What do you mean, Epping Forest?
6 months ago, his car was flashed speeding a few minutes' drive away from a crime scene. It's what links him to the other murder.
That was me. I took the car to Essex. I was picking up Rowley's birthday present. I didn't want Rowley to know I'd taken the car. So I paid the fine. Rowley never knew about it.
Thought you deserved to hear it firsthand.
So Jake still hate me?
No. He just didn't want to lose after we'd been so close.
What about you?
I don't hate you either.
I will, if you don't get your backside in gear and help me with this.
That's his way of saying he likes you too. Night, Ron.
No night, Alicia.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sam smiles as Alicia goes.
So, it was Mrs. Hexter driving the car in Epping Forest, but everything else still leads to our friend Roland, no?
Have a look at this. What do you think of that?
Footage of Roland on the ferry.
What time was that?
About 8:30 last night. Now, there's Roland. But you see this guy here? I recognise him, but I don't know where from.
If that's a routine, we can get down the pier in time to meet him.
Yeah, we can. Hopefully the game will be a 0-0 draw. I'll be able to get to the replay. Don't let anyone tell me to score.
Embankment Pier 2027. The city lights across the river behind Ronnie and Sam.
The uniformer took Markham back to himself in the cage. He said he'd meet me there, but he was late. 17 minutes. He'd been on a lad's night out, had one too many and a dodgy biryani.
It's all right, son, you don't have to explain everything to me. Here's our man.
The suave silver-haired man from the footage.
Good evening, sir. Detective Sergeant Brooks. Do you mind answering a few questions?
No, certainly. Thank you.
Your name?
Julian West. Why do you want to know?
Mr. West, do you know a Roland Hexter?
What's this about? Has something happened to him?
It's part of an ongoing inquiry. Do you know where he was in the early hours of this morning, sir?
What ongoing inquiry?
It's a murder investigation.
My God.
Well, he's refusing to give an alibi for his whereabouts between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. this morning. If he can give us that alibi, we can let him go and get on with our investigation, sir.
Idiot, he's done it again, hasn't he?
Done what again, sir?
He was with me. Or at least I was with him. He has this tiny little flat in Wapping.
Yeah, we've seen it.
He's terrified of the press finding out about us. Did he quote Article 8 to you?
Yes, he mentioned it.
Rowley's taken it upon himself to protect us against any invasion into our private life.
You're the MP, aren't you, sir?
Backbencher. Rowley's on the speechwriting team for the Defence Minister. Always wanted to work for the military. Something to do with his father, I think. Look, if he's not telling you anything, it's because he's trying to protect us. To protect me.
Ronnie and Sam nod and smile. Back at HQ.
Well, thanks, Jake. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I have missed it as it goes. Yeah. Well, God, don't go telling me the score. Thanks. Yep, good night.
Roland, a free man.
Yeah. Jake's gone over Julian's statement and he's happy, so the paperwork's gone to Ashbridge, yeah.
Should we pick him up?
Oh, well, it's the least we could do after the day he's had.
Yeah, I'll get my coat.
Oh, I don't think so. You've got other things to deal with.
Ronnie looks over Sam's shoulder at an attractive blonde woman in the doorway holding a young boy in her arms. Sam stands and shakes his head at her.
Didn't know what else to do. Mum can't have him tonight.
Come here. Hello, mate. Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Thank you. Don't let him stay up and watch Toy Story again, eh? Yeah. Night night.
She kisses the boy and leaves him in Sam's arms. Ronnie gets his coat.
Why do I let her get away with it?
Because you're his dad.
Sam presses his cheek against the boy's hair and kisses him. Ashbridge Prison, Essex, 2155. Ronnie walks down a grey windowless corridor with Roland.
Does anyone else know?
No one else.
Thank you.
If only you'd been honest from the beginning.
My private life is private.
I admire your principles, I do, but you could have spent a long time in this nick, that's for sure.
Oh, God, I'd rather not. I was surprised, though. TV room, didn't expect that. I've shown the footy. Yeah, we beat Hammers 2-0. Great game. Would love to have been there. I do realise while you were chasing me all day, the real killer's still out there. You've still got to catch him.
I know.
Ronnie, introspectively.
That's for tomorrow, though, eh?
Abraham Roach was sentenced to 5 years for the manslaughter of his brother. Gareth Markham was convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to 10 years in prison. A week after Roland Hexter's release, D.S. Brooks and D.S. Casey arrested a man for the murders of Derek Strachan and Peter Spence. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. ITFC, audio description.